Goodness, man, what a great message. And our world sorely needs it, amen? We really, really do. Well, open your Bibles to Psalm 28, 7. Psalm 28, verse 7. As we celebrate Thanksgiving the Sunday before here, because a lot of times people have family and travel, and sometimes it happens on the Thanksgiving weekend. So this is our time to just stop and reflect and be thankful, celebrate together as a church family and a church body. We gather together. We remember our blessings. We give thanks to God, the one who's provided for us. But Thanksgiving's got actually a pretty long history as a national holiday. I'm not sure how much you know of the history of it, but it goes quite far back. Of course, we think of the first Thanksgiving, the one that we think of for the Pilgrims, the Plymouth Colony, taking that time to be thankful after a very difficult winter where half of their population died because of the hardships. But they were a people, and it was interesting as I read a little bit about this, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, we kind of confuse those sometimes or mix them up, but they're actually two different groups of people. The Puritans were people that had fled England to try to recreate the Church of England, the official church, without all of the problems that was in it, all of the moral issues and stuff that was going on in the Church of England. They wanted to come to a new land and be able to practice their faith as it was intended, the Church of England was intended to do. The people, the Pilgrims, were actually a group of people who also fled England, but they, for their safety and well-being, because the church and the government was coming down on the dissenters, they actually fled to the Netherlands first. And that was a place where it was a pretty pluralistic, is that the right word, pluralistic society. It was, anything was good. They didn't worry about what you believed. Anything was good. Kind of reminds us a little bit of our country today, doesn't it? But what they found when they got there was they were concerned that their children were going to follow in the footsteps of the society around them and just kind of walk away from their faith. So they came on the Mayflower to America. To not so much escaping persecution at that point, but pursuing holiness. They wanted to pursue a place where they and their family could grow in faith and not get sucked into the pluralism of the Netherlands. So I thought that was an interesting distinction. Well, that was the first Thanksgiving. 1630, Governor John Winthrop of Massachusetts Bay Colony observed their official day of prayer and thanksgiving on July 7th of 1630. Ultimately, I believe the Pilgrims of the Plymouth Colony ended up moving towards this other colony in Massachusetts. 1789, George Washington proclaimed November 26th to be the National Day of Thanksgiving, all the way back to our first president. President Lincoln, 1863, right in the middle of the Civil War, one of our most darkest times of our nation's history, declared the last Thursday, so they kind of switched the day, but reaffirmed it, the last Thursday of November, to be set aside as a day of thanksgiving and praise. In 1876 was the first year that college football championships were played on Thanksgiving. So that goes way back, doesn't it? Football on Thanksgiving isn't a recent thing. 1924, Macy's department store had their first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. So that goes back a little ways, too, coming up on almost 100 years ago. And 1941, President Roosevelt, right in the middle of World War II, it's funny how war has caused us to run to God, declared Thanksgiving to be held now on the fourth Thursday of November, rather than the last, so it was a little more consistent. because the fourth could be, or the last could be the fourth or the fifth, depending upon the calendar. So that's a little bit of a history of Thanksgiving in our country, an important part of our history. But there's something deeper and more meaningful than just happiness and Thanksgiving. It's something more than just our circumstances are good, or our relationships are good, or my personal expectations, things that I wanted in my life, are coming to pass, and so I'm thankful. It's more than that. It's more than just I'm glad for what I got, isn't it? There is a reminding of the providence of God, that what we have, we really can't take credit for. The providence of God is a part of this. There's a grounding in Thanksgiving that makes us stop and remember, you know what, there's someone that I need to be thankful towards. It's a remembering that God is good all the time. And all the time God is good, in the good times and in the troubled times, God is good. And there's something that is altogether good for us in Thanksgiving. There's something good in being thankful in Thanksgiving. There's something good for us about a public, verbal, I'm grateful to God for this and for this and for that. There's something important about that. It's like this, our title here, the root of joy is gratitude. The root of joy is gratitude. The gratitude are the roots of joy. And like a root to a vine, gratitude feeds the joy of our lives. Without the roots, well, let's stand together and we're going to read our verse. As I said, we'll have time to share some Thanksgiving expressions of gratefulness to God later on in just a few minutes, but we'll start with our verse today. Let's read. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. Lord, we do praise you. With our mouth, with our lips, with our hearts, we want to give you thankfulness and praise and appreciation and gratitude, Lord, for your presence in our lives through the good times and the bad times, Lord. You have been the constant, that source of love and strength and support and direction and wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for that. And just help us, Father, to just reorient and reconnect to the roots of where our joy comes from, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've talked a lot about joy this past year, because I've been thinking a lot about joy this past year. And we found that joy, at its foundation, is this gladness of being together. There's a relational aspect that is foundational to joy, because relationships are where joy lives. We talked about when there's no relationship, then there's no joy. I've used my Cedar Point example a number of times. Roller coasters are a ton of fun, not so much by yourself. Cedar Point wandering around by yourself, just not so much fun. But when you've got people with you, relationships to share with, then it becomes something far more than it would have been. That it's that concept of, you're glad to be with me. When I come and I see you and I see the look on your face that says, I'm glad to see you, I experience joy because you're glad to see me. And it's the same thing the other way around, where when I see you, my face, my expressions say, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad that you're here with me today. That's joy. It started right in the cradle. When mama sees that brand new baby and baby wakes up, what's mama do? Hello, baby. You know, you radiate these expressions of over the top joy because, you know, my baby to know that I'm happy to see them, you know. That's just in its very basic form what joy is. I'm glad to be with you. I'm happy to see you. It's relational. It's not circumstantial. That's happiness. And there are times when we have to put into practice one of those joy skills, returning to joy, right? Babies need to do that. Baby keeps trying to play with the microphone. No. 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 And then baby either gets sat in the corner or a little smack on the hand, and all of a sudden baby goes, ah, things aren't right. Mom or dad's mad at me. Things aren't right. Baby cries, right? Returning to joy is being able to then sit down with them and say, okay, I said no. One of the most important things to teach a child, by the way, is the word no. It's an important thing. Kids need to learn that. It helps them in life. But after you've said no and they've been punished, then you come alongside and you return to joy. You return to what? I'm still glad to be with you. I'm glad that we're together. They learn that. Sometimes we have to learn that, but that's what joy is. Gratitude. What's gratitude? I have to look up the Webster. It's the state of being grateful or thankful. It's a state of mind, isn't it? Gratefulness. It's not just something that I say once. It is a state of my heart. I am thankful. I am grateful. And that's where this verse starts off. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. This is reminding us, God is good. He helps me. He is my strength. How many people have found that they've had to rely on the strength of God in their times of weakness? You found yourself in that place? Hands all over the place because of people who have said, I have just, at some point in time, I came to the end of myself and said, I'm out of steam. I got nothing left. God, help me. And we found that the Lord is our strength. And he's our shield, that protective person that watches over us, holds us up. And the more that we do that, the more that we experience, see, there are some people that maybe this is, they're hearing this, you're thinking, I don't know, I've never really found God to be helpful, or, you know, and they've just not really experienced that. It's hard to explain it to somebody that actually hasn't said, God, I trust you. But in order to experience, what do you have to do? You have to trust. It is a decision of faith. It is something where I say, things are a train wreck right now. And God, I have heard that you're real. So, would you help me? I'm going to put my trust in you. And I don't even know if you're real. Maybe sometimes people say that. And you say, but you say, would you help me? And then you find him to be faithful in the midst of that. And then you say, oh, now, okay. Now I'm beginning to understand what it means to find him faithful and to learn to say, my heart trusts you. And the more that's what trust is, something that's built out of experience in our relationships. The longer you're with somebody, and the more you find them to be who they say they are going to be, to do what they say they're going to do, you learn to trust them, right? That's how trust is built. And the more you're with God, the more you find, you know what? When I took that step of, because it is faith, it's blind faith, if you want to call it that. Yeah, when you say, God, help me, you're truly reaching out to, for all intents and purposes, somebody that's not there physically. That's what faith is, because you're reaching out to somebody who you believe is more than just a physical thing. He is deity, he is God Almighty, and he's everywhere. And when you come to that place, you say, okay, my heart is learning to trust you. I'm learning to trust you. And when we begin to remember that and say, God, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for helping me in this. Thank you for being faithful in that. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, thank you that your word says, while I was still a sinner, while I was still wanting to be a rock and roll star, doing all that, you died, you, while I was yet sinner, he died for me. He died for me. Before I ever decided to look for him and seek him, he died for me. Thank you, God. When we enter into that grateful state, it turns our eyes from things to relationships. It turns our, and there is a changing of the mind that happens. I've talked about our left brain and our right brain. We can live a whole lot of our lives in our logical left brain tasks, getting stuff done. But that's not where our relationships reside. It's not where our identity resides. Those are just things. And when we come to that place of saying it's more about the right side of my brain, where my relationships happen, where I find my identity is in you, Jesus. You're the one. You're the one I'm following. And when I begin to enter into gratitude, thankfulness, it moves me from doing stuff for some God who I'm not really talking to, or it moves me from that to I'm with you. It moves me into the realm of relationship, and relationship is the foundation of where our joy is from, right? So gratitude is at the root of that. Gratitude is the root of joy. You see the picture. Roots are important things, aren't they? They really are. A root feeds and nourishes the plant, doesn't it? All of the sustenance, the liquids, the water, the nutrients from the ground all come through the roots up into the vine. It's also it helps to hold the root down, the vine down, doesn't it? We've had some windy nights, couple nights. Yeah, things that aren't battened down, blown across the yard. Roots are what hold the vine or the tree or whatever it is into the ground when things are hard and the winds of life blow. The roots hold it fast and steady. It anchors it in the midst of storms. And it keeps the vine alive. It keeps it growing. It keeps it fruitful. Both are needed, right? You got to have the vine. You've got to have the roots. You've got to have the vine. Gratitude is the vine, is the roots. Gratitude is what feeds our joy, the vine being our joy, to use this analogy. If we want our joy to thrive and to flourish, then we have to be thankful. We have to take the intentional time to generate that state of gratitude. It's not something we do once a year. It is a state of gratitude. On Wednesday nights in our forming spiritual growth group, we're learning a skill. 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Stop, when you lay your head on your pillow or have your quiet time, and we stop and say, I'm going to take a few minutes and just think of things and thank him. Not just run a list. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, God, for my kids. Thank you for this job. Thank you for the car that I have. Thank you for the cross. And we don't just run a list. We thank you. We are talking to him and thanking him. It reconnects us. Gratitude reconnects us to the one to whom we're grateful to, the Father, the Son, the Spirit of God who dwells in us. It's in those relationships where our joy lives, and the gratitude is what connects us in relationship to God. So our gratitude is what feeds our joy. It's what feeds our joy. The rest of this verse says, my heart leaps for joy. With my song, I praise him. That inward joy is something that is experienced gradually. It inwardly, it grows as we continue to nurture it, and we continue to seek after it. That deeper, that not just, you know, my football team won today, but God, there's just a deeper joy, an easier coming to peace when things are tough around us, where we say, when we have that strength in our joy, we can come to that place of peace, even when things go hard, when our joy is already there deeply within us. The thought came to my mind, it gives us a deeper keel. How many people know what a keel is? It's that thing that sticks out of the bottom of a sailboat, sticks way down below. It's weighted. It basically, it's a stabilizer. It keeps the sailboat, because the sailboat's got wind pushing up top, right? So you've got this keel down here, a sail up here, and when the wind blows, the ship turns this way. The keel is weighted. It holds the boat steady. It keeps the boat. If there was no keel there, it would be easier for the ship to just flip over. The keel is what holds it. When people are even keeled, ever hear that comment? Even keeled, they're not flipping over. They're like, the keel keeps them. Or how about another one? That person keeled over. They keeled over dead. Well, that's the whole idea of the keel. Joy, that inner peace, gives us a deeper keel that holds us steady. When the winds start to blow, it's not going to blow us over. It gives us that deeper sense of peace. It's the gratitude that feeds the joy. If we're not having that deep gratitude that we're attending to often in our lives, then the vine or the joy is starved, right? So important. And as we continue to just say, God, thank you, it will be reflected in our lives. It's reflected in our faces. Joy reflected in somebody's faces. We see it in the eyes. Did you ever meet a joyful person? You know, coming up on Christmas, you got the Santa Claus with the twinkle in his eye, right? It's supposed to be this joyful Santa Claus, right? Why? Because joy, that's what joy does to your eyes. It makes them sparkle. It makes them happy. You know, it's what it does to your mouth. Not only in the way it looks, but also in the things that it says. We focus on the positive, the joyful things. It's a mouth that says, hey, I'm glad to be with you. Smiling, twinkling. As to, hey. Yeah, joy. Joy is such a powerful thing in life. So my question, before we get to our, because Judy said I needed to preach long today. The worship team heard it. She said I need to go long. Nobody's laughing. I'm kidding. She did say that. We've got a few minutes, though. I just want to ask you, are you feeling far from God? Are you feeling like that joy is just missing out of your life? The root of your joy is gratitude. take the time to be thankful for what God is, who he is, and what he's done for you, both tangible stuff as well as for your heart and soul. Start and end your day with a time of gratitude. It will begin to transform your heart as it has mine. And why not start right now? We're going to take some time to share some gratitude. Like I said, we're going to have an opportunity for people to share, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? How has God blessed you? Let this verse come to fruition. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. Whether it's the song of your heart in singing or the song of your heart in words, take a moment and thank God for what he's done in your life. Anybody want to start us off? Karen. Thank you for being the first one out of the chute. Good for you. Let's see, is that on? Okay, there you go.
So I'll talk to Terry because I'm nervous. So I'm a part of Grief Share, and I feel it's really been a blessing to me because in this world it can be really good, but it can also be really hard. And to watch people in their darkest hour come to Christ for healing, it's been powerful to watch that and watch what Christ does. But this past Thursday, we had Grief Share Surviving the Holidays, where we invite everybody that has lost somebody in the last year from resurrection. And also in my own life, my son and his girlfriend of 5 years have had to face a horrific tragedy involving substance abuse and suicide. And it breaks my heart that they had to face this. They're 24 and 22, and what do they do with that? And as their mom, I want to save them. And I know in this world there are so many bad ways to cope, and so I worry about that. Well, they showed up at Grief Share Surviving the Holidays. They didn't sit at my table. They sat at another table with my coworker and our regular Grief Share people. And I sat 3 feet away, and the hardest thing in the world was to hear my kids crying from the pain of what they were experiencing, but I really felt God had me stay in my seat and leave him to the people that have been walking with God in their healing. And as I sat there, it was so hard, but I could hear the people that I have met with weekly pouring Christ into my kids.
Wow.
And I am thankful that I can't fix things for my kids, but God has them. And I am so thankful and amazed at the power of Christ. And so I trust him with my most precious gift, and that's my children.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you, Karen. Sometimes when we let go, that's when God can do his greatest work. But you had already given yourself to God to use. He just used you, but he used you through the people that you administered to.
That he had ministered.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Even if it's just setting up a room, if you hadn't done it, there needs to be that, I'm available. Gosh, thank you.
And I walked away thinking, this is how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our denominational leaders say we need to be making disciples who are making disciples who are making disciples who are making disciples. People that know how to give what they've been given, and they gave what they were given. That's beautiful. Brother Jerry.
I have more to be thankful for than I could possibly say in the next 3 or 4 days, but I have a special one. I've been going through some struggles, working a lot of hours and a lot of family issues, but God has been really blessing me getting through it, and continue to lean on him for strength. But 17 years ago, I got divorced, and it was a rough time. If any of you have been through that, it's it's not fun, but God put people in my place. He put a pastor who believed in me and stuck with me, and I got through it. And instead of being angry and bitter, I understood what happened. God was telling me that it was wrong, and so I let it go. And instead of being bitter and angry, I moved on. And instead of my ex-wife being an enemy, she became a very good friend. A very good friend who's here today. And we're both going through struggles with, especially our son. Sister, your story, you know, she's crying because we're going through the same thing. And we went through a two and a half hour car ride Monday because of our son and what he's going through. And we did it together, and we do things together. And I've helped her, and she helps me, and she's such a blessing. So I'm thankful today for this lady, and she's in my life, and her other two kids that she's had, Ryan and Gavin. And I love them just as much as I love my other two, and I want them to have a good life and know God. And so again, that's what I'm thankful for, the relationship that God has given me with this woman right here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen.
I just want to say, Jerry, and to you, Doris, that so many times, anytime we have prayer and what we're thankful for, Jerry always brings up how wonderful it is to bless your children as well as your ones together. And that's me. I've talked about you guys, not by names, but by you. That divorce today, see, I'm from a divorced family. I was 7 years old when my mother and dad got divorced. And back then it was different. No one understood divorce because it was just a completely new thing, you know. But anyway, and I tell people about today about how you get along with your ex-wife. And so it's so important for the children. I remember Orville, you know Orville. He always said, when you get divorced, the house should get the kids should get the house, and you go 1 week with them, and the next week you don't. And it's really, because they're so, it's such a hard thing for them, and it's really been an inspiration to hear you talk about them all the time. So it's not just because you're here, it really does say it. But this little things make me very happy now. Thanksgiving's coming up, and you know what I'm looking forward to so much now is when my grandson got married. She's from a large family, so there's around 25 or 30 of us for all the different birthdays and things. And I started, they always ask me, say, great, so we all join hands. I give my call. You know what my call is? And that note means to hush and get in there, we're going to pray. And so, and we all.
We've heard that one a few times here.
And so we all joined hands. So my little granddaughter, my first great granddaughter, she accepted Christ as her Savior. And I was so happy. Doesn't take much to throw me, but I was so happy because then the next time we had a party, you know what she said? Great Grand, do you think I could say grace? And I said, you sure can. I'll be tickled to death. So we still have a call and get together. And she has everybody join hands. But that's such a blessing that I got to live. I'm 84. I got to live long enough to see that. I'm just so
Amen.
Thankful for it.
Amen. Praise
oh,
God.
Oh, and also, there's two people here today that I've been praying for a long time. I'm not going to point them out. But I'm very thankful for the answer to prayer.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Donna's gone through a few things in the last month, haven't you?
Yeah.
So glad to see you here.
I just love to thank God for all that he's done for me. He went above and beyond when I was in the hospital. And I really realized that it was necessary for me to be there. And I remember being in pain and starting to get a little upset over it and get resentful. And then I remembered what Job had said. He said, shall I not thank God for the good and the bad, when his wife came out and told him to curse God and die? Wow. You know, I'm learning that. He wants me to learn that. And I did. I thanked him for everything. And you know, he lifted me above that storm. You know, I went through AFib while I was there. I went through a lot of pain. But he got me through it. And I couldn't do it without him, and I couldn't do it without asking for his help. You know, and this is what I want him to teach me today, and he is teaching me that today. And I thank him for the 16 years sober and drug-free. Nice. I got October 31st. Because it wasn't me who did it, it was him.
Amen. Yep.
You know, I got to relinquish control. And sometimes that's hard because I do take my will back. But I have a lot of gratitude. And I could spend hours telling you what he's done. And the more I open my eyes to him and the things he does do, there's so much he's doing and people don't even see it.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know,
that's true.
And the more closer I get to him, the closer he comes to me. And I'm so grateful for that today. You know, there's been just so much. And I just want him to know I love him. And I have definitely have gratitude today. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna. So good to see you at church today. Amen. Every time I went and visit her, she'd tell me about somebody else that she was talking about Jesus to. Oh, all right. Thanks,
man. Hey, how y'all doing?
This is Ken.
Yep, my name's Ken. And one of the most important things for me is family. And this year, Hurricane Harvey hit my hometown, Houston. And all my family and friends are there, or a lot of my family and friends. And just being helpless, not being able to go and try to rescue my family, they were giving me updates, and you knew 1 foot of water, 2 feet of water in the house, went all the way up to 4 feet. My neighbor had to get rescued by a helicopter. And just being able to... just not being able to do anything is very tough, but then you realize, you know, you're helpless anyways, right? Your biggest strength is prayer and God. And they ended up getting rescued by boat, and they were able to stay at my friend's house, and just come to my house, you know, I'll have everything set up for you and everything. They took care of him, and even after that, we had... a church just came by and was like, hey, do y'all need help? And a group of 20 people just helped them. And my neighbor, their son's, he's on a track team, and he brought all of his track buddies, and they helped with the house. And, you know, you see looting and stuff like that, but you also see unity and that time and people coming together to help each other. And that's an amazing thing to see. And you also, like all these church groups, being able to, it's a witness too. So it's great things to see there.
Amen. Thanks, Ken. Wow, that's much to be thankful for. I'm right here.
My name's Paul, and I know some of you know me. Anyways, I wanted to thank the church for being there for me and my family through some tough times the last year and a half. We wouldn't have been able to get through it without the church and the church family. I'm just so thankful for all that Pastor Frank and everybody else and all my brothers and sisters here that they do for us daily, and all the groups, and just it's a beautiful thing we got here, and I'd like to reach out to more people and just bring more into the church and lift us all up. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're blessed with a great church. Oh, I'll get up there to you, Joe. We're blessed with a beautiful church, aren't we?
Amen.
Great people. Love our church.
I just want to say I'm thankful. I've got a good friend of mine that I've been gradually telling her about church and have her here off and on. She still hasn't stayed completely. She believes in God, but she's not saved. And I have just been talking to her. Well, some of you know recently she managed to fall out a two-story window. She broke her back and destroyed her lower left leg, but she lived, and she's been talking to me about things. And I said, well, God has a purpose for you. That's probably why you're still alive. So I'm just thankful that it's woke her up a little bit. I'm not sure if she will come around. The pastor's talked to her a little bit, went to visit her a few times. And so I just ask all of you to keep praying for her, and maybe she'll come to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, God is faithful. Oh, I'll get up there, Joe, in a second. I forgot something.
I just wanted to say the people in this church helped me out immensely when I was needed help. They were there for me. And, you know, my own family's not there for me. You know, this is my family. These are the people here who are important to me. And I just want to say I'm very grateful for Sally, for Dorothy, for Pastor Frank coming to visit me. I mean, just, it was a wonderful thing. And all you others that sent me cards and, you know, good well wishes, thank you so much.
Amen. I agree, Donna. I agree. We have some wonderful serving, giving, servant-hearted people here in our church that do so much here that many people don't see. Many people don't see.
I just want to thank everyone who's been praying for my wife. We went through a thing 22 years ago where my wife couldn't walk, and they never did find out why, rheumatoid arthritis type symptoms, and it looks like this is the same. During that time, it was about 6 months, it was very difficult, and but I think looking back on it, I saw God's hand there, and I'm believing that God's going to heal my wife again the same way. And the doctors are puzzled, but they were puzzled 22 years ago. They sat there and said, this doesn't make sense. And we literally went to a doctor here last week who said, it's not like I'm telling you that your story, that you're lying, but your story doesn't make sense. This, I got to think about this. This one's making my head scratch. But I know that in the end, I'm going to be thanking God that my wife is going to be healed. And I want to thank all of you for praying for my wife. And I had to go to work yesterday, and her sister and then a Christian friend came over to stay with my wife because she can't get to the door to open the door, so I waited until they came. And I know people have been helping with food. We've had plenty of food. Thank you. And most of all, I just thank God for all the support. It's been a difficult time, and the drugs that my wife's on, the prescriptions, make her very emotional, which tend to make me very emotional, and I'm not comfortable with that. But I'm grateful. Thank you for praying for my wife. That she would be out of pain, that she'd be able to walk again, I'm looking for God's miracle. 22 years ago when she started walking, the doctor even said, now that is a walking miracle. And I want him to say the same thing. Amen. This time.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen, brother. We will just continue to pray for Chris and Donna, Dorothy and Bonnie. So continue to lift them up.
I just want to say how thankful I am for Pastor Frank. He is such a good shepherd. He watches all over his sick people. I don't think I've ever known a pastor or priest that has spent as much time visiting the sick. And I want to thank Terry also. She's right there behind him and doing all her own things. And I'm thankful for everybody in this church. This is my family too.
Thank you. Amen. This is one of the ladies that spends a lot of time caring for people. Lots of time. And I appreciate you and many others. Norma's another one that runs around doing things behind Dorothy. I'd want to list everybody, but that's we'll be here all day. Any others? Brother Bill, you guys up there too, let me know. Just throw something at me.
Brother Joe just reminded me, as I'm learning, after maybe 18 or so years and fumbling with this thing called walking with Christ, I'm only just realizing the power of prayer, and I'm seeing it. And crystal clear examples. There are scriptures, I believe, that talk about God going before us. And I had a situation, a conflict that I had to address. And those of you that know me, I got a high mercy gift. I was brought up in a house that said, make nice, nice, don't make trouble, you know, let's pretend there's no problems. Well, that's not always healthy, is it? And I had to go to scripture, and I had great counsel from pastor and some other godly counsel who took me to Matthew 18 and said to go to the person that you're offended by. I literally felt God's presence going before me each step of the way as I approached the person. I watched their facial expression change. It wasn't even the same person. God made a way for us to talk. And I just want to encourage any of you who might be resisting a conflict that God is telling you, I've got to lean into this, I've got to address it. God will go before you, and he'll answer prayer. And right now he's given me joy and a thanksgiving that is just an abiding kind of a state of mind right now. Mm-hmm. And so don't avoid the conflict. I'm thankful that God brought me through it.
He walks with us right into it and through it. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Well, yes, wonderful. Hello.
Hi, everybody. I just want to take time to thank God for my husband. The past 3 years has been a blessing to me. Never been too able to trust anybody in the way I trust him. So I just want to thank God and thank him for being grateful for giving me this wonderful man and us being here today. And love you, Judy. She's always been there for us. Pastor, you've always been there for us, and thank you guys for welcoming us and inviting us in. Thank you guys.
Well, we're so glad you're both here. Glad you're both here. What a beautiful testimony. I'm with you. I'm thankful for who God has given me. I'm just going to share mine. Maybe we'll wrap up with this. And I see Judy, are we ready to eat? she's saying, well, I just want to say thank you to the church. I thank you to the ones that have stayed the course with me, particularly over these last probably 3 years or so, where ministry has been hard. Ask any pastor, ministry is hard. It's challenging, and the church is under more and more stress. And it can wear on a pastor, and it wore on me over the last couple of years. And I don't know, you don't always know what people's perceptions are of you. I know that looking back, I went through some times where I was much more, probably my messages reflected, I was much more on the negative side of things than it was on the positive side of things. And God brought me through that, but he sometimes takes time. And I want to thank the body of Christ, the church, that has stayed with me and supported and were patient with me, because we all go through tough times. And in joy and in love, we stay the course with the ones we love, right? And I want to thank you for staying the course with your pastor when he went through some pretty dark couple of years. This past calendar year, God has really been doing a work of renewing my heart and my mind. And I'm finding joy again that I hadn't had for probably, like I said, the good 3 years before that. And I want to thank you for being patient and staying the course. And it's easy to kind of push somebody aside or go somewhere else. I want to thank you for sticking with me and being a faithful, supportive church to me. It means all the world. And I just wanted you to really know and understand that and know that I appreciate you and thank you all so much. And I'm thankful for my wife who, you're right, Sally, I've got somebody that's by my side. I understand. Having somebody that's in your corner makes a big difference. Thankful for my kids, most of all. Thank you for Jesus. Where would I be? Where would I be? Oh, where would I be without the Lord? Well, let's take a moment and pray. We're going to, Lisa? She's got one. Well, I got to turn the mic on. Hey, then nobody going to begrudge you for cooking for us, right?
All right, anyway, I have three things, and I'll make it very quick. Everybody knows that I'm always thankful for Casey. The Lord gave me Casey as a second time around with her, and that's where my gratitude is. And I remember that when I go into anything else that I do in my life. I also am thankful for the fact that I got to go to Columbia and meet my sponsored child. She changed my world. So I wanted everyone to know that that's what I'm thankful for.
Well, for my newly sponsored child from Haiti, too. Excited. And we just reconnected Ezra, who we were sponsors for years, probably 20, yes. And he, out of the blue, found us on Facebook. And so we've been able to reconnect. We're chatting back and forth. It's really awesome. I forgot to announce this. For our turkey dinners, ham and turkey dinners that we give to people, some of our families that are having special needs this holiday season. December 22nd, the money is needed for the ham and turkey dinners. Also, $10 gift cards. So we will have this in the bulletin.
I'll have more information next Sunday. There's not enough hours a day. And sign up for it, okay? We've got 10 families
that need
less. Yes.
And next Sunday, if you want to get your spices and stuff in for Life Challenge, bring it by next Sunday, and we'll get all that stuff out to Life Challenge, if you signed up for that. If you didn't, then don't worry about it. All right, let's go and take a minute, we'll ask a blessing, and then we'll go eat. Father, thank you so much for your rich, rich blessings to us. Lord, we're grateful for the food we're about to eat. We know we're going to enjoy every bit of it. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us before we ever loved you. Thank you for loving us all the way to the cross and all the way to heaven, Lord. And you wait for that time when you can welcome us in, and joy will be realized in its greatest extent when he looks at us and says, well done. Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're here. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. Bless our time around the table together, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All God's people went and ate. Straight through the doors there. Follow your nose. And everybody, please come help us to eat up all the good food.